I don't ever know where to start to be able to talk with you as to bringing out what I want to bring out. I always have so many things down in my heart. I find it real difficult to minister to you the things I want. And it seems like that when I do find an atmosphere as to your hungry hearts and the atmosphere just right as to God speaking to you, I find that when I do find this, something always happens. Satan has a carnal-minded person, or something happens that some way or another, he just tears up everything, you know, and messes it up to where I can't get it at that time. And then other times, it just isn't there. And I really have a problem. I can at times, well, let me put it like this. I can at any time if the Lord doesn't stop. Any place, any time, if he doesn't stop me, I can just start talking with you. And when I talk with you, once I begin to talk with you, then I catch your attention, your natural attention, and then I get a real reverence. Because most of my people greatly reverence the house of God. I've got very few people that doesn't reverence the house of God. Even people sometimes that give away to spirits, which they ought not to, they still have a reverence and respect for the house of God. And I catch your natural attention, and then when I get your spiritual attention, it's no problem. Anytime that a preacher that has anything gets your spiritual attention, you can be sure that you want to share it, because it's no problem. It's not left up to the preacher. If it was left up to the preacher, now you have got preachers where, you know, it is left up to them because they don't have the Spirit of God. And they just come, they are routinists, and they're just looking for something to project themselves with, or somebody to talk to, or tell them what they know, or have the preeminence, or have people's attention and admiration. There is such. But on the other hand, there are those that love the Lord that they're not interested in that. They could care less about that. The thing they are interested in is that they're going to stand before God and have to give an account for everything that they've said and done, and they have to present you to Christ as one, as a shepherd that has control over you, not as a lord over God's heritage, but as an example unto the flock. And they have to give an account to Christ. And this is what they're wanting to do, is to get the gospel over to you, so that you as precious children in God can grow up in Christ as the full measure of his stature and go on to a full reward. But these others that stand before you, they have to have all kind of ritualistics and all kind of things and musical backgrounds and whatever. But if a man of God comes, all he has to do is just get your natural attention. And when he does, if you give it to him with respect as to looking to him, to tutor you in the things of God, then he automatically gets your spiritual attention, and God begins to speak through him, and he is just a channel as to where God speak to you. The Bible said it's not him speaking, but God speaking within him, and that they are all being taught of God. So, you know, it's no problem. It's no problem for me, because on and on he will talk, and he will feed you, and he will give to you whatever you need. I don't have to search it out. I don't have to look for a place to read. All I do is just open my mouth. And at any time, unless God should draw a restriction, a true minister can do that. Whether he meets you on the corner, whether he's just sitting down talking to the brethren or whatever, it just takes one or two hungry people to start pulling on Christ, that are not looking for some knowledge just so that they can learn something to be puffed up that they might go off somewhere, you know. And but somebody that really is hungry, that's down their heart, that's saying, Lord, I'm a child of God. I acknowledge my faults. I stumble and stagger. But Lord, I'm hungry. I really want you to help me. I want you to strengthen me. I want you to feed me. I want you to do something for me. And when you do that, all of a sudden, then something begins to come out of the bosom of the minister. And it's like the song they wrote that says, and in his bosom across the sea, He had the glory that is for you and me. And this is what we're looking for. It's in the bosom. They saw them in the bosom of Abraham, which means when you say the bosom of Abraham, I tell you again, it means they were in faith. Abraham was the father of the faithful. It means that they were in the faith. All right, all those died in the faith back under the law, not having received the promise. Now this is what I try to point out to you. I try to be a real pastor to you, a real father in the gospel to you. Paul said, I've begotten you as a father in the gospel, to take my time and talk with you. And I know that some of you don't listen. I know some of your minds is all scattered here and there, and you're restless, and really you want to hear me. You want to hear me because you believe there's something good, and you want to go to heaven, and you want what I got. But see, you don't want to take time to make your mental faculties be erect to listen, to make that old body set still. And what it is, it's the devil. The carnal mind is enmity with God. It's just warring all the time, just like that. And it'll say, you're uncomfortable. You're not really cool. You need to get cool. The fan ain't giving out enough air. You know, you've got a tummy ache, or there's acids in your system, and I don't feel good, and you've got a headache, and you've got to get out of here, and I wish you'd get on with it, because we ain't got that long anyway. And, you know, all these kind of things. It's the devil. He's just eating you like worms. But as for them which come to hear, he that hath an ear, that is, as to the spiritual things that God or the Spirit's going to say to the churches, let him hear. And everyone can't hear, for the Bible said, hearing you hear not. That is, you hear a vocal utterance, but you don't get anything because you don't have the ear to hear God. So hearing you hear not, and seeing, you see the natural man as the minister, but you don't see Christ in the midst of us as he ministers to the soul. So you don't get the revelation, you don't get the spirit of revelation, you don't get this wonderful meat Jesus spoke of. When they come to find him, he said, I have meat that you know not of. They thought he should be eaten naturally. He said, but I have meat that you know not of. Now he said to the ministry, he said, I want meat in my house. I want to have meat in my house. And he said, thus and thus, that it might be meat in my house. And then he said, the meat is for the strong, they who have by reasoning, that is meditating, studying, thinking, shutting themselves away with God, they who have by reasoning exercise their senses. Some people exercise their bodies to where their bodies will be real lustful. And some women do that to where their bodies will be real lustful. And they prepare themselves when they comb them their hair, and they want their face to be full and plump, and they don't like wrinkles. You know, they don't like to work out in the sun. Even young folks can work in the sun so hard till they'll draw up and be wrinkled like you. And they don't like that. Satan don't like that. You know, but we exercise the inner man. And Paul said, though the outer man perishes, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. Because whereas they are the children of Satan, and they are the bond child that's in bondage with their mind to the beggarly elements of this world as to the flesh, and that he saveth the things that be of the flesh, in that they have the love of the world in them as to that desire, the Bible said, the love of God is not in them. So the love for the things of God isn't there as it is with you. So then with them, their whole desire is to the natural. See, but we are exercising the senses. Paul said, I serve Christ with my mind. And we're exercising the senses that we might come into that wonderful place of having power with God and having the revelation of God and the wonderful things of God is to understand the mysteries of Christ. If you'll notice, we're living in a day when everything is getting perfect. Everything is getting perfect. I stop sometimes and I just observe things and I point them out to my wife and I ponder over things, you know, and pray about things, and I stop and hear long enough sometimes just to talk to you, to share with you, as to let you know what's happening. Because a lot of times all these things that's happening around us, we don't even notice them. They'll be all around us and we won't even notice them. Day by day, we're caught in them, we won't even notice them. Something like I was pointing out to some of the brethren just recently, things are happening in a tremendous way in the spirit world. In the spirit world, it's happening in such a tremendous way. And all of those spiritual things in the spirit world is made known to you and I by the natural things that we see. For the Bible, again I remind you, the Bible tells us that all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are understood, clearly understood by the things which do appear. Three little ladies, would you kindly leave the church, or would you pay attention in that we're up here, and the Bible said you ought to know how to behave yourself in the house of the living God, which is the ground and pillar of the truth. For the very thing that Brother Pike is saying is what you need. Because I saw you little ladies today, and I saw y'all, and I picked up your spirit as you went across the field, and you have given place to Satan, and now you have a spirit that has a hold of all three of you. All three of you now have a spirit, which before you had problems, but I was able to keep it under control and work with you. But now you have to that degree become the prophecy of Satan. That means that you are subject to sickness, you're subject to insanity, you're subject to death, you're subject to shortening your life by your disobedience, and everything that's distasteful you're subject to, because you have now become repulsive in the sight of God until you make a change. And you'll find out, as Brother Pike has told you in the past and trying to take care of you and father you, you'll find out now that you can't throw it off. And I say this to the other young ones. The Bible said, them that sin rebuke before all, that others may see. After that you've tutored and taught and pleaded and done everything. So then the Lord is suffering this for a reason. Now, you'll find out that when you want to come back, that crying won't deliver you from Satan. Coming to the altar and repenting won't save your soul. Like he saw, he repented with bitter tears, but he found no place of repentance. And like it was when Judas sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, he repented, gave back the silver, but God wouldn't accept him, and he went out and hung himself. And you'll find out that when a spirit gets you, from that time on, you can't shake it off like that. The devil has to be broke loose from you. You know, it can be a big joke to you. Because see, you think, well, I'll go do what I want to when I get ready. Ain't no spirit about it. But that's where you're wrong. When Peter spoke to the Lord Jesus, he said, nay, Lord, ain't nobody going to harm you. Could you picture that being a devil? And the Lord saw that devil and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savest the things that be of the flesh. When you savor the things that be of the world as to the flesh, that means that the love of God is in you. All right, I just thought I'd drop that in to let you know that through my whole service here, you've been very disrespectful. Haven't regarded what I said at all. You've got something going between the three of you, and it's very, very disgraceful in the house of God. Brother Pike's just exhorting you. I'm trying to tell. There's no need of me trying to really reprove you or rebuke you, because you've got bad days coming anyway. The best thing that you can do is start trying to get hold of yourself and plead with God that he help you. All right, so then I want to say these few things before I read my text here. And this is that we're living in a day of perfectness. If you'll notice, you've got to be perfect now. Everything is getting to be perfect. A woman, she has everything she needs now to make her perfect. She can do most any way she wants to. Yeah, she needs lipstick for her lips to make them red. She needs rouge for her cheeks to make them nice and red. And she needs all kinds of things for her hair, even if she has to put a wig on a bald head, which some do out in Hollywood and different places. So she's got everything. She's got the perfect clothing as to colors, perfect seamster. She's got anything she wants. She's got, the man has got the same thing. He can go down to the local beauty parlor and get his hair curled, curl his hair up. And he can rub a little rouge in his cheeks and put some light lipstick on his lips to where he won't look too much like a woman. And I know this sounds foreign to you, but people do these things. And he can get a wig too if he's perhaps bald like I am. You know, he can get him a wig. And then all these things they can do. He's got everything he needs to make him handsome and tall if he wants to be tall like this fellow they got. What is his name that plays on television? I get somebody tells me about him every now and then. He's a big star. He's over here in Atlanta now. And he's a short guy. And he's bald-headed. But what he does, he puts on a high heel shoe somehow. And he puts on on a wig, and he is the throb, heart throb of the people. You know him. I don't know. I just know about him. Tell me about him. You know, if some of the kids was here, they could tell you for sure just all about him. But anyway, nobody knows the difference, you know. And everybody's got everything they want to be perfect. The automobiles are just perfect. There's hardly anything that they can do in design or anything that they can add to them that would make them more perfect. They're just perfect. Like I was telling my wife when we was up here in this place, the playground over here, over in Tennessee. I was having some kind of a show up there, a car show, while we was having a meeting there. And cars was just everywhere from all over the nation. And I was telling her, I said, Betty, now look at these cars and the Lord will reveal something to you. I said, here's all kind of old antique cars. And they've been glorified to the extent that they've completely been redone. I said, they've been completely redone. And I said, I want you to look at them because they were just beautiful. So many colors, and some of them perfected so that they looked like glass. Some of you saw them. You were there. And I said, but I want you to notice something now. I said, these cars still have the same configuration as to model and design, as to appearance. I said, the same image or configuration as they did in the days when they were first made. And Betty said, that's true. She looked at them real good. I said, but they're just beautiful. I said, they're so intriguing. I said, and some people, you couldn't get theirs for a Cadillac. They wouldn't trade it for a Cadillac. And some of them, of course, is worth a whole lot more money than a brand new Cadillac. But I said, now look at this. I said, and the Lord will teach you something. I said, first of all, this is a resurrection. I said, us being up here has a great spiritual significance, understanding all of the invisible things of God by these visible things and the trend of the people as to the stride of life, this time of season of life. I said, now look at it. I said, it has to do with the resurrection. I said, but if you'll notice that even though it is glorified, even though it's been resurrected, it is resurrected just exactly the way that it was when it was buried, as to the day when that went out of style and they wasn't using the old cars anymore. See, if you put two bodies in the ground and you resurrected the two bodies, to have a true resurrection, if one man was 70 years old and another man 30 years old, you'd have to bring him out of the ground at 30 and 70, or you wouldn't have a true resurrection. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I know that we are sown in weakness, raised in power. I know that we are sown a corruptible, we come forth an incorruptible. I know that we are sown as a terrestrial and we'll come forth as a celestial. I know that. When this mortal, a mortality, has put on immortality, then shall be brought the pass, the saying, death, where is thy sting? And grave, where is thy victory? You understand what I'm saying? I understand that. I know that. But I'm trying to explain something to you. It's not necessary for you to die. How many of you understand that it's not necessary for you to die to put on immortality? It's not necessary for you to die. The Bible said, behold, we shall not all sleep, but be changed. That is, from mortal to immortality. So that's not necessary. You don't pick that up by the grave. Going over here in a coffin and being put in the dirt and having somebody to throw that in your face and put you 6 feet under the ground so you can lay there and the worms can eat you, or you can lay there until vines grow out your ears. Of course, that's what happens. You're from the dust. You go back to the dust and they take up people. And after a while, when they take them up, the vines are growing out their ears and out their nose because they're nothing but dust anyway. It's just part of the ground and they become fertilizer. Now, how do you understand what I'm saying? So then going to the grave, that isn't going to help your situation. It doesn't perfect anybody. It doesn't make them any better. It doesn't add anything to them. You go to the ground because of sin and death, because of your wrongs and my wrongs. And Christ Jesus went to Calvary to do away with that part, going into a grave with his body and dying a bodily death. He did that to do away with you having to die a natural death. It is not his pleasure for you to die a natural death. And as we move on in the church world to come to the revelation of the understanding of Christ, then we'll understand Paul's mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die, but be changed. Or as Jesus said, the difference between sleeping as to the spirit departing from the body, going back to God who gave it, the spirit. And the difference between that and the separation of your spirit from the eternal God spirit, which puts your spirit in a lake of fire, which is real death. The Bible calls it the second death, which is the only death, in that the former thing is asleep. So in saying these things to you, I'm just trying to build a little something here as to a formulated expression that I might make you to understand some things. Like I would say, Brother Taylor, you're my subject. Brother Taylor would say, well, that's fine. I'd say, I'm going to tutor you, Brother Taylor. Brother Taylor would say, well, that's fine. I'd say, I'm going to tell you about Revelation, Brother Taylor. He'd say, well, that's wonderful. Now, I would say, Brother Taylor, the first thing I'm going to have to do to you is make you to thoroughly understand that all invisible things that no one can see, the most brilliant science cannot find them, that all of these invisible things as to an invisible world and this invisible God, Paul said, I serve God, the invisible God. So then all of these things, Brother Taylor, I'd say I'm going to have to tell you that all of these things are clearly understood, even God in the Godhead, as to who will be sitting on the throne when you get there, and as to what you'll see, that even to the Godhead, so that we're without excuse. I'm going to have to tell you that all of these things are understood by the natural things that you see. So I would say, Brother Taylor, you see that light, you see that post. I would say, you see that person, you see that blade of grass, do you see that water, do you see the birds, do you see the animals, do you see the ships, do you see the plane, the automobiles, do you see all these things, Brother Taylor? Do you see the growth as in a family from a child to a grown-up? Do you see the difference between a man and a woman and a child? And I would say, do you see all these things? Of course he would. I'd say, now, all of the invisible world, Brother Taylor, is exactly to the teeth, to the hairline, exactly the same as all of this you see. That there is an invisible person, there is an invisible God, there is an invisible world. And there is a visible world, and there is a visible person, and there is a visible God. And then I'd say, now this invisible God has created an invisible world and give all of these things to the visible people that he might educate them, put them through school, as from elementary to diplomacy, and to bring them out as a complete product in God, as to a finished product, to a full measure, of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, and bring them to the full reward of Christ. Now, I'd say, do you understand that, Brother Taylor? See, so I say, now we're going to break this down. You know, we're going to, in fragmental parts, as we would say, are we going to use an approach of segregating here, Brother Taylor? Or we're going to use a divisional thing, as from measure to measure? Proportionally speaking, Brother Taylor, I'm going to try to instruct you so it won't be confusing, because we can't comprehend all of it at one time. So I would say, let us take one particular thing, as I said to somebody today, I believe it was. Let us take the electrical system. Then we begin to study it. I said, now we're going to study about electrons, the flow of electrons. You know, we're going to go into the world of electrons, of the world of electronics. And we're going to go into that world, and we start into that world, and we start talking about atoms, and we start talking about molecules, and we start talking about fission, and we start talking about fusion, and we start talking about the electrons and the protons and the neutrons, and we start talking about the alpha sparks and the beta sparks, and we start talking about the gamma rays, and we go on and go on, and we break it down, and we break it down, and we break it down to the very minute. And then I say, Brother Taylor, now in your mind, can you picture a molecule being heated up and little atoms just going everywhere from that molecule? Or I would have to say to him, I'd say, you see this solid piece of matter here? I'd say, this image here. I'd say, we're going to heat it up. We heat it up. like I say simply sometimes, we take water and we take the water and we heat the water up. You know, you take a piece of ice, you put it into a little stool, you set it on a flame, you heat it up, and then all of a sudden the solid as to the matter, which is the ice, it begins to melt down, and the first news you know, you got a liquid, and then you heat it a little more, and then it goes into a steam, and you got a gas. See, and I'd say God is a Trinity. He is a three in one. He is not three gods, even to the Godhead, so that we're without excuse. I'd say, Brother Taylor, you're never going to see three gods. There will never be three images. When you get to heaven, that will never be. I'd say, that's the teaching of Lucifer. And I could take him around and show where it come in, where it got started, why it was there, why God brought it, and why it was like this. I'd say God is a Trinity, but he is a three in one. The Bible said water, blood, spirit. These are three separate things. But Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, these are one and the same. And then I'd break it down. I'd say, Brother Taylor, do you believe that in this ice right here, that this ice is a composition of a Trinity? I'd say, do you believe that a man is a composition of a Trinity? I'd say, Brother Taylor, do you believe that I can take all things and show you the invisible world as to what God is and what God has always been? And how that God has expressed himself to us through our understanding. And then I would say to Brother Taylor, I'd say, let's start with a man, body, soul, and spirit. But I said, there's just one. I'd say, let's start with that, or go on to that tree. I'd say, there's the heart of the tree, there's the body of that tree, and then there is the bark of that tree. And I'd say, let's go to an automobile, and I'd say, there's the framework of that, and there's the engine that's in there, the power, and there is the body of the automobile. And then I'd say, let's go to a family. There's daddy, there's mother, there's the children. I'd say, let's go to the heavens. There's the sun, and there's the moon, and there's the stars. And I'd say, let's take fire. There's fire, and there's heat, and then there's light. And on I would go. I'd say, let's take just a few more things, Brother Taylor. I'd say, if we was going to set a table here as to the feminine part of it, we'd set a plate, we'd take our cup, we'd take our saucer, we'd take our plate. I'd say, then let's go a little further. We want a knife and we want a spoon and we want a fork. And I'd go on and on and on and on to these kind of things. And I'd say, Brother Taylor, as to your dress, it is clothing, as to beneath, it's clothing without. And then, of course, if it's cold, you put on a coat or you have your shoes. See, and I would go on and go on, and everything that you would see, everything, it doesn't matter what it is, it's a three in one. Because God, who is a great spirit, has expressed himself in this measure as to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost part of it has to do with light. And before you can ever come into the mind of Revelation, Brother Taylor, or understand spiritual things, this is the major hurdle that you've got to clear. You've got to get over this. This is the first thing. I can assure you that if you remain in the frame of mind as to expecting to see three gods, you're never going to get the spirit of revelation. Your eyes are never going to come open, though you be ever so religious. You can fast, you can pray, you can do anything you want to, and you can be a great, what you call a Christian as to a believer, a great preacher, but you will never have the spirit of revelation. So then, Brother Taylor would, he would understand. I would say, do you see why we baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin? I'd say, because there is no other way to get to the eternal spirit. God is a spirit. I say, and the Bible said he is a great light, which means understanding, that no man can get unto. No man can reach this great light, Brother Taylor. No man has ever seen him, Moses or Elijah, or nowhere in the Bible can you prove that any man ever seen God. No man ever seen God except through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. No man ever approached unto God, for the Bible said God is that great light unto which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. So then that would settle that as to the scripture. Faith in the word is how we're saved. If you don't believe that, you can't be saved. So then that's the word. If it was an opinion, it would be different, but that's the word. So then I'm translated into the marvelous kingdom of God by faith, which we don't have time to even scratch the surface of what I'm trying to say here tonight. But we're translated into that. Jesus Christ alone dwells in the midst of that light that no man can approach. And no man can go to the Father except by the Son. So there is none other name given under heaven as to a human formation, as to a configuration, as to an image. There is no other image of God. There is no other earthly image. There is no other earthly name that's given whereby man can get to God. There is none. His name is a door as to remission of sin, in that he rent the veil at Calvary as to the vision we brought out about the atoms. As to rending the veil, which means us to be baptized in water for the remission of sin, in that you're baptized into his death in that water is the grave. And in the name of Jesus is remission of sin. And remission is in none other name. You can call the name, the title Father, which you call a name. You can call the title Holy Ghost, which they call a name. You can call the title Son, which they call a name, which is really titled. You can call that all you want to, but God will not hear as to give remission of sin, because there is no remission of sin in those words. There is no remission. I say again, as to simplicity, I am a father, but there is no remission of sin in that title. I say that you are a son, but there is no remission in that title. And then I take a woman as to the feminine part, and I speak of the life of man that goes into her that's to be projected in childhood, in that the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ that came out of Jesus at the rending of the veil. And I speak of that, and I say, and remission of sin cannot be taught in the word Holy Ghost, or the title Holy Ghost, or if you want to call it, the name of the Holy Ghost. See, so there's no remission of sin in the word Holy Ghost, or title Holy Ghost, so far as God remitting your sins. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that the Holy Ghost can't remit my sins? No, you're not being a good student. You're not listening to what I say. I did not say the Holy Ghost could not remit your sins. I said there is no remission of sin in the word Holy Ghost as to say that when you are baptized for God to take away your sin. There is none. So far as remitting your sins, it takes the Holy Ghost to take your sins away. But the Holy Ghost will not come. You can say Holy Ghost all day long. He isn't going to come. You can say Father all day long. He isn't going to come. You can say Son all day long. He isn't going to come. You can call on those names all day long and you will never get one blessing. Not one blessing. Not one blessing. You must call on the Father. You must call on the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. And if you call on the Son, you call in the name of Jesus. And the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, when he comes, he will come in my name, and he will testify of me. So there is remission of sin to be taught in his name, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, speaking of spiritual things, we're still on the surface here. See, so then the name of Jesus is a strong tower. The righteous flee into it. Into the name by baptism, and they are safe. And when you're baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, that's full remission of sin, which means that your sins have been remitted by the blood of Jesus at Calvary. For there's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And the only thing that can remit sin is the shedding of blood, which means his blood has to be shed, and that the life is in the blood. And the sin was in the blood as to the life, as to the soulish realm, as to the red dragon, or that is human birth or human life, which is repulsive in the sight of God and which is rejected in the sight of God. God has rejected all human images. He hath rejected all human blood. He hath rejected all human life. And you are now a bastard child in his sight because of the sin of Adam's. And in the morning, as he says, when he appears, that is the great light comes. He said, I will despise your image. I'll despise your image, which is your earthly birth. That of condemnation, death, and sin, and corruptible flesh. For all flesh is corrupted its way in the sight of God. And the Bible said after the flood, he saw that all of them was corrupt, and that their hearts, the very thoughts of their heart, was continually evil after he tried to do away with corruption. So then Jesus, who he made to have another bloodline, another bloodstream, another blood cell. This is a different act of God. When the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and she conceived of the Holy Ghost, then another body was born, and that body was the lovely body of the Son of God, which knew no sin, no sin at all. And the Bible says as to this image that he was made to be partakers of the flesh and bone as we are, inasmuch as the children partook, then the Bible said he also partook. And then we brought to you the Greek word, as to say, in the Greek word, he partook. But the Greek word gives it as he partook, but not all. Which means he partook of the flesh, he partook of the bones, but he did not partake of the blood. For a sign to say there's not a drop of a mother's blood in her child. God let this be so that a woman could bring forth a child and not have a drop of the blood of Adam as to the red dragon and sin and corruption within that body. So the Bible said in the fullness of time as to Calvary, God sent forth his son made of a woman and made under the law to redeem them that was under the law. And of course it would take hours and hours to go into the revelation of that, but I'm just wanting to stay with a little stream just to give you kind of a program or a formula like a teacher would if she was going to say, tell me what two and two is. You say, well, what is two and two? I'd say, here, I'd put down a two. I said, now you see two and two. Tell me what it is. I'd say, there's a secret to two and two, but it's nowhere around. Nobody sees it. Can anybody tell me what it is? And so then if they've been programmed right, they say 2 plus 2, and they put in 4. And they said, now there's the hidden mystery right there. I revealed it. They do this in school as to formulas. They do this as to running to one power, first power, second power, third power. I wish we had time tonight to take it and run as to one revelation from first power, second power, and into the third power. And it's so beautiful. But anyway, all of the natural things in the world, God has programmed men's minds with it so that they can understand the hidden mysteries and receive the values as to the elements on the spiritual life. And I say again, as I do so often, I say elements as to the potentials of that world, because we have no spiritual vocabulary to express these invisible things. And God, because of that, has again let us use the natural side of life for expression, saying that even if we use a rule as to measurement of man, that the measurement of angels are the same in heaven as in earth, the measurement of men. So then is our equality of expression as to measurement, as to express or project by sound to your listening ear, that which is invisible, whether it be image-wise or whatever, I have to use my understanding here and my vocabulary expression, because that's all I can do. Vocal expression is all I can do. And yet in that you can find the revelation of Jesus Christ. So as I have the mind of God, I would say, Brother Taylor, I have the mind of God. For the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, in that when you receive the mind of God, there is a faith in the mind of God. If you can capture it, that will make you into God. You will automatically become the God body, as members in particular of Jesus, him being the only body, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in Jesus. So then you become a member. It makes you God. That same revelation that Jesus got that made him God as he grew into the knowledge of God day by day. The Bible said he grew in knowledge and he grew in stature. And the same knowledge that brought him his Godship as the supremacy, as the supreme ruler of heaven and earth, has been given to you. And the Bible said, as he is, so are you. And that every man that be perfect shall be as his master. And then in this revelation, your perfection is revealed. So then when it comes to you, as you give yourself to it, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, or if you go on as to the full measure of the full stature, or if you go on as to the full reward, as a child, maybe not a dropout as to third grade or dropout in fifth grade, but you go on to a diplomacy and then from there on to college, there's three parts of that. You've got your kindergarten, and then you've got your elementary school, and then you've got your college, everything of them threes, before it is a complete course. All right, so then we look at these things, we see that I would say, Brother Taylor, when I had the mind of a man, I thought as a man, I had the world within my heart because the world is a mind. And I'd say I had the world, Brother Taylor, in my heart. And all my thinking was according to the world as to Satan, who infiltrated my mind from the fall of my forefather in the garden. And I'd say that spirit of great mighty knowledge, which was a reflector of the glory of God, entered into my being. And he had become a god in the people of the world. The Bible said, sitting in the temple of God, whose temples you are, that is in the body, showing himself that he is God, controlling the government, controlling the money, controlling the weather, controlling everything, trying to control the stars. See it as Satan, and the Bible said, climbing right on up to heaven to make his nest among the stars, as to set that on the moon, as they called it, the little nest, making his throne there, and then reaching on out to the galaxies and through the galaxies and to the planets as to Venus and whatever the probe is right now. So he's showing himself that he is God, the visible God and the many members of the visible God. And someday Satan himself as a fallen angel, the invisible force, will personify himself in one single individual and become a headship. And through the computerized system of today, will control the entire world by a numerical order as numbers. And I said this years ago before they ever done it, I said, and it will be through the Social Security number. I said, and the day shall come when they shall change the tag number to the Social Security number. They'll change the Army number, all of these things. It'll come down to one number. It'll come down to the Social Security number. And when it comes down to that one number, this as a social benefit will be the thing that will be as to whether you eat or drink or buy or sell or keep, whatever, as it will come down and it will be under the computerized system of this great Belgium thing of about three stories of this operation as to computer system, and it will be under the number 666, and that will be the number of a man. And we brought those things out. But anyway, we can't get in there. I'm just trying to bring it down to where we can look at it as to where we are right now, the day of perfection. And I'll get back to that in a few minutes to say a few things, but I just want to run through a few things here to clarify as to what we're saying, as to what the system is, as to where we're at and where they're at. Now, so I would say, Brother Taylor, when I was in the world, I was a man. All of them out there have a man's mind. And I would say because I was predestinated from the full foundation of the world, by foreknowledge of God, I have become elect as to what he foreknew I would be in the time of my calling, as to the preacher coming and I hear. So then, as it was said concerning Paul, he preached the gospel. The Bible said the multitude listened. And as they listened, the Bible says that he shook his raiment and he left them and said, your blood be upon your own head. And the Bible said, as many as were before of old ordained unto eternal life, they believed. That is, the elect believed, and the rest of them were blinded. So the Bible said, and when Lucifer comes, or the children of this world come, they are blind as to their eyes of understanding. The Bible speaks of your eyes of understanding, which is the inner eyes of the inner man. See, and they're blinded, and the Bible said, they shall not see when good comes. For the prince of this world, even the prince of darkness, which means intellectual ignorance as to that which was from the fall of the garden, Satan's spirit interwoven, or which has infiltrated your spirit, your mind as to your outer man, and that the Bible says no good thing dwells within your body. So then we can see that in this, we're understanding that if this be hid, as the Bible said, it is hid to them that are lost. But it is said to you and I, that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened, that we might comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length. As God said to Paul, having had experience on this side, Paul, to the extent you've learned so much they think you've lost your mind, now turn my people from darkness to light. Well, that is, take this mind of Christ, this revelation that you've come into, and revelate by moving this darkness away. Take this veil off of my masterpiece as the sculpture that works and covers it until the day of the showing. Take this veil away to rend the veil at Calvary, to reveal my inner Christ as to the kingdom of God. John sent it in the form of revelation as to this thing being revealed as to the Ark of the Covenant. And so then when we see an expose there, that the veil has been rent. Then we say as to another dimension running from one power to another. I can't explain that, so you won't catch this unless God's already indoctrinated you with it, which you might have already done. But coming, then we see, as we say sometimes, in the vision. And now in the day that we're living in as to perfection, we've got to go down through the form of matter as to the ice, right on to the liquid. That is to coming from one stage, another, going right on to the gas as to the vapor, which means the spiritual world, the angelic world, coming from one world, one power to another power to another power. See, and we penetrate and we go down to the minute, go down to the minute, go down to the minute. And then I told you here a few days ago, I brought it out, explained to you, it's just natural things we're talking about, to where we can have a formulated mind to get into the deep mysteries of God. So then, when I taught you the other night, I taught you that there had been, as you very well know in your schooling or learning or whatever you've been in your lifetime, your tutoring, I said there is a little world that we've been acquainted with as a microscopic world. I said this little world is an invisible world because it is a type of the invisible things of God. And I said scientists are a type of the real people of God, though science means knowledge, Paul said falsely so called, it's just a mess. But nevertheless, there's some truth among it in that God has done certain things. So the little microscopic world, this man, he invented a little micro. So he brought it down to a water drop, just one drop of water. And he looked in there and brought something to sight that couldn't be seen, which is this little organism. And we've been living with that kind of understanding all these years. It has helped him with medicine, germs, all these kind of things. And there's a lot more things I'd love to speak of concerning germs as to the advantage of our day as to what it was then. But then all of a sudden in our day, they come up with a little microscope. It's a microscopic view. This is something that they've come up with in just the last, it's just been published in the last few weeks or month. And this little thing says that now they have narrowed it down beyond the water drop, as I said before, 10,000 times as to the minute. And it is now another world as to the little world of protons, neutrons, and atomic particles. And whereas before it was more or less a summary as to their studies, now they're getting down to where they can actually see them. So then as to 10 billionths of a centimeter, 1 centimeter, bringing it on down to where as like a graphene needle, the fine point of a graphene needle, now they're able to harness the electrons, that the little thing that spins around the protons and the neutrons, and run it down through the point as to the needle and emit it as in a sequence. And they can see them as they go through in a sequence. Well, that is to say, the little electron, which we say according to the definition as to their summary, not being able to see it, it is defined as this tiny thing so small as like a quarter of a mile spinning away from the little proton and electron as to proportionally speaking, as to size, you know, as to bringing it down to their sizes and their measures as compared in the minute as to the present thing that you can see, the visible things. So, and now this little electron, as I'll say, now, Brother Taylor, we broke that down, son. I'd say, now, we see we're talking about the little electron that spins around the nucleus of the proton and the neutron, and now they've harnessed it, and Brother Taylor, this is the way we have our electricity. This is the way we have it, and we go on and on in that fan spinning around. I said, the little electron, they've got to where they can run it in a circle and just follow it. Just go round and round and round and round. Just, you know. And then I would break down, would go on and go on. We wouldn't have time to go into those things. But I would go on and go on and go on until I proved positively to him as to what the natural thing was, as to the very minute, right down to the beta rays. So when I got through, I'd say, now, Brother Taylor, we've been studying this for 10 years now. How long does it take to get out of school and college? Anyway, if we went by the way of school and college, we'd say, it's took us so many years now. Now let us become spiritual. Let us get into the spiritual things. Paul, you've been studying all of your life these things. And you have learned one thing, Paul. Out of all the years that you've been religious and you've been studying, you have come to one thing, one learning, Paul, and that is that you are ignorant. Let's give the Lord a hand. That's what it is with the world of learning. Folks, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Someone would say, why would you say that Paul was ignorant, Brother Pike? Because it takes ignorance to go about killing Christians. Paul said, being a sinner of which I'm chief. So he said, now I want to give you some light. And for 3 years or more, he kept him in the desert. And he was able to bring him to this great revelation by unveiling all of these natural things that he had learned. See, and God brought him to the great revelation that caught him away, but translation into the third heaven. He went into the third heaven because of this great wonderful thing. Jesus, because of the great wonderful knowledge, went into glory standing on the mountain. See, in other words, I'm trying to explain that these things, as it was said, the heavens declare his handiwork. And the Bible said the earth shall be full of his knowledge. But we have to understand what he's saying is to allegoric thing. And I say again, if, you know, this sounds childish, this sounds foolish, this sounds wild. No wonder they said Paul was crazy. Paul comes over here and he starts preaching to his people, say that I was Paul and you was the congregation. I'd say, and now, Brother Taylor, or people, I want to teach you something. You say, well, what are you going to tell me? I'd say, did you ever read in the scrolls that it would have been back there? I'd say, the Old Testament. Did you ever read about Sarah and Hagar? And of course you would say, well, sure. You know, if you're Bible scholars, say, sure. I'd say, well, did you know that Sarah is New Jerusalem and Hagar is Old Jerusalem? And then right there, you know, you dismiss yourself and you go off and you say, well, this fellow's too much learning. He's made him mad. He's crazy. He's going around calling women New Jerusalem and Old Jerusalem. Isn't that right? Not for you, because you understand. But what if I went to the Church of God? What if I went to the UPC? What if I went to the Methodist and the Baptist? What if I went to the Catholic and I started to tell them how that I now know, I have grown to the extent, God, that I now know that Sarah was New Jerusalem. How do you think what kind of applause do you think I'd get? If I said that, they'd never let me get up behind the sacred desk. They'd say, the poor boy don't understand. He just don't understand. Brother Jill knows I'm telling the truth. There's always hand go up. They say, you don't know. He's a good boy. He's a good boy. But I like to say to Brother Branham one time, Brother Branham being spiritual in the power of God, they said, now this man's got a gift. You know, he's got a gift. So we won't deny that. You know why they didn't deny that? Because they couldn't deny it. The man was doing miracles everywhere and people were seeing it. There's no way for them to deny it. That's why they didn't deny it. If they could have, they would have. See, somebody said, well, I don't believe people are like that. Well, why is it they deny that Jesus resurrected from the dead? And even back then, they paid people to say that his disciples come and stole him away. See, you see what Satan, he'll go to any extent to stop the gospel. So then I can safely say to you that, as Paul said, the revelator, the overseer of this church, the Gentile church, of which I am a part. See, I can truthfully say, repeating his words, and as Paul said, and as Sarah, who is New Jerusalem, the mother of us all, simply saying that she was a type, she was an allegory. She was a type of the free child as to the promise, as to Isaac, which meant the Christian, as to the church of today, the spiritual church. Or as to Hagar, which the Bible said answers to Mount Sinai, as to the law, which is old Jerusalem, which now is, that is over there where we've been about six times, and now is in bondage with her children. And that is to say, the natural mind is to the beggarly elements of the world because they've never been born again to be a Christian, to have the mind of Christ. So then we see, as the bond's child mocked then, so they mock today. All right, we're going to try to close in a few minutes. I'd say, now, Brother Taylor, are you following me? Because I don't have to tell Brother Taylor these things. He's been in this for years. But I'm just using him as a typical thing here. I'd say, now, we're going to take about 3 years now to get into this revelation. Or that is, I'll say we'll take this part concerning the world of electronics. That's a sovereignty of its own, so we'll get into that. And then when we get through, we'll take another world of human physics. And it'll take us a long time to get into that. And then after months and years or whatever it takes, we'll take another world, and on and on and on we go as to the secular parts of the galaxy, as to the world, as to humanity, as to the solar system, and break it down as to their own sovereignty, because in every body, even of the galaxy, or everything that is in the solar system, has its own gravitational field of orbiting and is a sovereignty as to its own revelation, which means every star, as Paul said, differeth in glory. There's not one star but what differeth in glory. They've learned that not one planet, though we see them as one thing, looking at them, they found out there's not one planet but what it differs in glory. That if you look at Venus, it's different. Its makeup, its covering is different. Its potentials are different. And if you look at Saturn, which has the red-like thing around it like this, as to the galaxy part of it, it is different. And every one of them is different. Pluto is different. The world is different. Mercury is different. All of it is different because it differs in glory. You would say, what do you mean glory, Brother Pike? Well, it's like a young man. His glory is different from the young woman. His glory, if you defined it, is strength. You know, the Bible said the glory of a young man is his strength. He wants to pump steel because he feels like he can whip a bear, and a lot of times winds up with a bloody nose. But anyway, you know, he feels like he's the man. And a woman, her hair is her glory. See the difference? Glory can be strength. Glory can be hair. Her glory is her hair. If she doesn't sit and comb on it all the time or sit around in the beauty parlor or whack on it or twist it, you'll find her going around flipping it over her shoulders. You know, her mind, her hair. Now, to cut a man bald-headed wouldn't bother him much. Sometimes they shave themselves bald-headed. We had one here to do that not too long ago. You go in the army, they just cut you bald-headed. That wouldn't be nothing. But a woman, you shave her bald-headed, and you couldn't hardly get her to come out the front door. She'd sit right there for six solid months if she had to get her some hair back on her head. Don't look at me strange. You know, speak up, lady, and say you ain't telling it right. Because if I ain't telling it right, you need to indoctrinate me. But if I am telling it right, you need to just listen. You learn something. So then we see that the glory of one thing is one as to one thing, the glory of another. So Paul, being the revelator that understood glories and those things, he said there's one glory as to the natural body that dies and goes into the earth. So your body's got a glory. It's a vain glory, and it's a satanic thing that is lust. Your glory is lust. So then, in that is a glory, but it is a lustful thing. See, it would not have been a lustful thing, but it has become entwined with Satan and his brilliance. So then your brilliance as to what would have projected your natural man as to have been the prince of this world and ruled it, has now been infiltrated, and Satan is called the prince of the world because he has taken your leadership and all of your values of life away from you by entering into you and infiltrating your mind. And today it's not you living, but it's Satan as the bastard child and the bastard image that God will destroy and has destroyed for the Christian if he will forsake it. He's a Christian. And hath destroyed for the Christian. So then your glory is contaminated. Your glory has become shame. You understand what I'm saying? But there is another glory as of to the terrestrial body, or the celestial body. And that celestial body is different as to the glory of the terrestrial, which dies and is buried. And we can't go into all those things. But I'm just saying that, and I would say, now, Brother Taylor, do you by this time understand what we're saying? So we're going to have to stop right there. I'm just going to end up here by, conclude by coming back to our thought here. I said, Sister Betty, do you see those old antique cars? We're in the day of perfection. I'd say now, do you see the old antique cars? I'd say now, the one thing about those cars that is fascinating is that though they are glorified as to their glory, they have their own glory. As to their glory, I would say, as I did to her, I would say to you that they still retain the configuration as to image as to their day. The T model still looked like a T model. The A model still looked like an E model. You understand what I'm saying? Have you understand what I'm saying now? See, I'd say it was the same. And let me say this to the brother that's been giving me so much problem. Brother, you're not giving me problem, and I'm saying this for your benefit, just to let you know that I'm not guessing, that I do live in heaven and I do understand. You don't have to be nervous, and you don't have to on the inside flinch every time I look in your direction as to try to stay in accord with me, afraid I'm going to say something else, as to verbal abuse. See, I know when Satan isn't there, and I know when he is there. And you're a very fine person. And when I meet you outside, you're a very fine person. And right now, you're so tense. You want to hear this because you believe in it, and you want to hear it, and you're so afraid that you're going to get into that thing again, and I'll say something, but you're just tense on the inside, just like that on the inside. And you know that's the truth, so help me God. And I raise my hand to God, it's the truth. So help me God, and all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. So if I'm telling a lie, you don't have to worry. Your enemy's God. But if you're with me as a Christian, and I'm telling the truth, and I'm telling the truth, see, I'd be a fool not to. I'd be a fool to let my life and all of my ministry rest on one thing, you know, and die and go to hell. You don't have to do that, brother. You don't have to be tore up, nervous. I'm not here to tear you up. I'm not here to make you nervous. I love you above all your mistakes. I love you. But you don't have to be tore up. All right, now, in saying this, we've come to the hour of perfection. So then, when those things come up out of the grave, as we say to the resurrection, what will they be? As to a true resurrection, what will they be? Those T models and A models come up as a T model and A model. Why? Why didn't they come up as a Cadillac in our modern age? Why didn't they? Because what had been invested in them as to the knowledge of the hour, as to craftsmanship, or as to ability, as to what science could put into that, all was put in. They did not have the knowledge of today. The same way as to the Cadillac, the scientific knowledge as to what's put into that Cadillac is of today. It's of today. But that same Cadillac of today, if we live to see it, as up to the world tomorrow, it'll be the same as today. Because there'll be something new then. And the Bible said, I'll do a new thing. For God's mercy is new every day. So then it shows us that God is perfecting man, like them that died under the law, died in the faith, just like you. See, but not having received the promise, because the promise is God's Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost. And they didn't get Christ the Spirit because it had not yet been given, because he had not died from remission of sin, so it could not have been his name at that time. Now this is a proof to you that you can't get to heaven or get into glory without through the name of Jesus. Let me give you a proof of it. These, Paul said, having the revelation, these died under the law. David said, under the shadow of the law, the shadow of death, sin by the law, the shadow. So then they died under the law, but they couldn't enter into glory. See, they died not having received the promise. And the promise was to Abraham that in Isaac thy seed, that is to say, as a type to say in Christ shall all nations be blessed, and he is your hope of glory within, because he is the only heir to the glory, not as unto one or as unto many, but as unto one, even Christ. So then the promise is as unto him, and if he's in your heart, then you have the hope of that glory he appeared in on the mountain. If he is not in your heart, you don't have that glory, because that is the glory that you're ordained to, and he is heir to that glory that Moses and Elijah was in. And you're changed from this glory to glory as on the inside. It would take a long time to preach a message on glory. But anyway, I'm just dropping these thoughts in. Now, so then we find that something has taken place. And it would take a long time, of course, to bring out the details. This is the fullness of time has to prove to you that death has gone by. But these under the law, not having received the promise, now then they're resurrected, talking about the perfect day that we're living in. Everything has to be perfect. Let me say this again, perfection. If you're going to have good credit, you can't do like you did years ago. Years ago, if you paid within a year as the farmer, he was a great man. Now, if you don't pay right on time, you got about 10 days grace, and that's it. You're a rascal. You know, and they're all being weeded out as to the perfect people. The perfect people. And the perfect people in the natural that'll hit that thing right on the head, keep good credit and do all these things, they can have the world. The world is theirs. The world's at their fingertips. All kind of cards, American Express and everything, all kind of loans, the banks, everything's right at your feet. Everything you want, mansions, land, fly over to Hawaii, do anything you want, because you're the children of the world. And they're perfecting it. But everything natural means something spiritual is taking place. Now that's just how close, if we had time to break down many things, it would show it. That's just how close things are to the church being perfected. That's how close the change is. And then again, looking at the automobile, so we can close here. Kind of took that as a theme because most everybody's got one. When we look at it, what do we see? The automobile is now perfected. Hardly anything they can do with them but what they've done. Already they're coming up with a remote control, which I felt like they would in the end time. Coming up with a remote control. And everything is just so-so with the automobile. And now they're coming up to the three-in-one. Always remember, you got your boats by water. You got your transportation by land. You got your transportation by air. Always three. Three-in-one. They have to work together. Go on the plane. Then you have to take an automobile. You get down, you go into an island, and you got to take a boat. All of them work together. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible said when God created the heavens, the earth, and the seas. Three in one. That's the act of creation. But anyway, I just said that to say this, that as close to perfection as the automobile is as to that which you see with your natural eye, that's how close it is to the change of the body, as to the catching away of the bride. Somebody says, no, it can't be. It's exactly to the teeth. There's not one hairline difference between it and the change of the church. Somebody would say, I think you're crazy. Like Paul, you know, too much learning has made you mad, Brother Potty. It is exactly to the teeth. What you see with your natural eyes, if you can understand, whereas the children of this world will never see it, God's not going to let them see it. They'd go crazy. You'd have to put them in straight jackets. They'd lose their mind. They'd go stark, raving mad. So he isn't going to let them see it. He's blinded their eyes of understanding so they can't understand. But you know when it's nigh, even at the door. For your eyes are enlightened in that you're children of light, to know at his coming. Like when the Lord appeared to me about 3 or 4 nights ago when I was in the living room and I was praying. And I said, Lord, why don't you just come into the living room with me? Why don't you appear to him? Because it's been a long time since he's actually appeared to me like that, in an angelic form or anything. And I said, why don't you come in here? And I was just kind of remorseful. And then all of a sudden I was somewhere, I don't know what happened to me, like you go up into a trance or what. And I knew that I was in the living room. I knew that I was down on my face. I knew exactly the spot I was in. I was looking directly in the same direction. I wasn't anywhere else. I wasn't in any other thing. I was in the vision exactly the same to the T, just like I'm standing right here. If I went in the vision, it didn't change it at all. And all of a sudden, I looked, and right there in my face, right before me, there stood the image. And that's when I looked, and his eyes kind of buttoned like glass, like fire. And he just blended in with the terrain as to the shadows. And when I said something to him, I was trying to find out something. And when I said something to him, it was then that I heard him speak to me. And he said, I don't know what I asked him. I can't understand. I asked him something. Or I said something, and though something wasn't fitting in place just right. And he said to me, he said, but you've not yet preached your sermon on He is near. I thought, well, you know, I preached all kind of sermons about God, but really I've never took a text as just to press the issue and say, folks, He's near. I mean, He's near, and really go down the line with it. And then as I received that, then as he went away like this, it went away as from the shadowy look into a light and a change, and I heard him say something about the living stone. And that was all of it. But I just said that to say this. See, you look at your natural. See it just exactly like it is. Understand it perfectly, because your days are numbered to that exact extent. And your time of the Gentiles is measured and gauged as to motion or as a stride toward the end of time to the perfect T of that you see. And this is why a lot of times I seem fussy when I try to pray with you and sing with you, talk with you, and I try to capture your attention. And I say, folks, so many things that we need to know. So many things. Because if I leave here, I'm going to leave it as the T model, I'm going to leave it as the A model, I'm going to leave it as the Lincoln, I'm going to leave it as the Cadillac, I'm going to leave it as the future, whatever the future holds, as to design and beauty, that's what I'm going to be. You understand? See, I don't have to be in that age as to tomorrow, as to say, like waiting for tomorrow. It's like a song we wrote, Your Tomorrow. Today can be your tomorrow. Brother Taylor sings it, he understands it. But anyway, I'm just saying that I can come to that perfectness now. I can come to that perfectness now. It's made available to you now, the Bible says, the manifold wisdom of God, which is that knowledge of completeness to the full reward and full measure of the stature. It is now available to you, and you now have this heavenly treasure, which is the knowledge of God, in earthen vessels. And the Bible says, in past time it was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now made known to his holy apostles and prophets. So then, this is what we're trying to say to you, that God has a great thing for the church. And how in the world could a Christian, and I'm not being derogative in my statement or my approach, and I'm not speaking as ignorance, though I might be a little rude in speech. I'm not in knowledge. I'm not saying these things to be a terror to you or to be some kind of fool. I understand. But how can you spend your time as a Christian looking at ball games on television, looking at some kind of a breakfast show, or looking at the frivolous, beggarly elements of this world? Don't you know that you couldn't be a Christian and do that? It is a fact. I'm not surmising. It is a fact that you are still carnal, and the love of the world is still in you. And if there's envy, jealousy, backbiting, evil surmisings, as among you as Christian people, you're still carnal. And to be carnally minded is death. Are you not yet carnal, Paul said? So then, to go to races, to go to fashion shows, to spend your time just going around from place to place, from store to store, buying and selling and listening to the vain jinglings of all those things all day, are you not yet carnal? Doesn't the Bible say that Satan savors the things that be of the flesh? To spend your time fishing, to spend your time hunting, to spend your time doing the things that's in the natural that God has given for the entertainment of man? Somebody would say, Brother Pike, this is for the entertainment of man. God give this to us so that we can kind of get away. I agree to it. Buy, sell, go to Six Flags, do whatever, visit, talk, gossip, backbite. You know, God didn't give you the backbite, and all the devil gave you that. But nevertheless, go do those things. But the thing is, sons of God don't have time for those things, unless it's just a rare thing that he might go out of somebody to catch a mess of fish or go out and kill something, especially if it's for food. Otherwise, for sports, it's condemned. It's gone. It's wrong. It's fleshly. Now, the thing is it fleshly? Like I asked the brethren the other night, is it fleshly? If we differentiate and I took those things individually and I said to you as an individual, I'd say, let's prove whether or not it's satanic. Somebody would say, well, I don't think it's satanic. I think God loved the church. We've got the church. We should do all these things and this is a part of our world. Well, let's prove. Let's see whether it's right or whether it's wrong. The Bible says that Satan savors, which means delights in and wants, the things of the flesh because he is the God of this world and the God of the flesh. Now then, let's just take this and look at it and categorize it or position it as to our mind. Is fishing spiritual or is it fleshly? What kind of a spiritual thing do you get out of fishing? None, unless you go through the allegoric type as to know the revelation. Is fishing fleshly? Is it natural? Is it carnal? Or is it spiritual? Somebody said, you're trying to do away with what I want to do. I'm trying to do away with nothing. I just told you to work out your own salvation. I'm just here to speak to you and to let you examine these things and to put them out there before you in the light of the gospel. Is hunting natural, fleshly, carnal, or is it spiritual? Did Jesus spend his time fishing or his time hunting? Was it Jacob or Esau that did the hunting as to who got the birthright? Are you listening to me? Did not Jesus go down to the seaside, of which we've been there and preached on it a time or two, on the Sea of Galilee? Didn't he go down to the seaside and didn't he say to Peter, Peter, what are you doing fishing? You are a preacher. You're supposed to be feeding my sheep. He didn't say that in those words, did he? But he said, Peter. As if to say, what are you doing here, Peter? He said, Peter, do you love me? When he called him away from their fishing. Peter said, yea, Lord. I'm going to let you go. Hold on, sister. It ain't that late. Just hold on. I'm going to let you go. The Lord gives me understanding just like he does you. And this is not a time show anyway. Tell you this, give 5 minutes to God, he may give 5 years to your life. Like I've said about a number of times, I've said this about Hezekiah. He gave a few years to God, God gave him 15 years. Some people are in the grave right now because they didn't have time for God. They died at a young age and they're in the graves. Some lived to be 80 and 90 years old because they did have time for God and they gave their time to God and they're still living. And somebody says, bless God, that does it, won't be back. Praise God, you got the gospel to the full extent. You'll be chargeable from now on. Let's give the Lord a hand. Don't have to worry anymore. If you want to take that route, it just means you're cut off. That's all. Anybody can hear the gospel and do those things of the world, you're cut off. And what happened here is you was all right till I cut across your brain because you're a very worldly person and you've gone after the world and you've worked out your religion as to a worldly thing, as to your own feelings, and because of that you are lukewarm and God is ready to spew you out of his mouth so that you'll be vomit on his table. Let's give the Lord a hand. Anything that's lukewarm becomes vomit on God's table. So you think it over real seriously before you make an opinion and before you do what you got to do. And I am closing. So then where are we? Where are we? We're in the end of the world. We're in the end of the world. So are those things fleshly, the desire of the flesh, is that the love of the world within you? Or is that the love of God that's looking out to see how I can feed a little orphan or help a widow or reach a soul that's dropping down into the flames of fire or get together as the brothers to make a little money to labor that you might have to give to publish the gospel around the world, or as with the sisters get together and work and package clothing to send out to the needy or wherever it might be in the world, like the woman up here in town hearing things They always hear bad things about God, and God lets the mud get on there to keep the intellectuals and the money men away from it till it can grow up in the full power of God. Like they've said things about Bethlehem, and then we saw the vision where they looked and they said, we've made a mistake, we've got a good thing, and now they're trying to get to it. Whereas like the other night of the film showings over here, when the man that had our people over at the film show and turned the whole cafe over to us and made the statement when he left, said, your people are the finest people that I've ever had. Said, and the cleanest people. Said, in my cafe, it was clean. In the restroom with all of their children, it was clean. And said, this is the finest people. So I've heard things, and it's the finest people. And like the woman that come out yesterday from the beauty parlor over here in Monroe. She come out here, she said, I want to see this thing for myself. Said, I've heard things about it. Said, my husband just can't hardly wait to come out here to take a look at it. And said, I want to see it for myself. And she come out, when she got here, somebody playing the piano, she started weeping as she looked at the sanctuary. Hard woman, outspoken, tell you flat what she thinks about you in a minute. Went over here, and when she walked down here and saw what the sisters had done, and saw the boxes all boxed up for the poor, she started to weeping again. And she said, I've got a sewing machine. She wanted to be part of it. She wanted to give it. See, who is she? She's a Catholic woman. She's a Catholic woman. See, the same way with Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, we got all of them here at Bethlehem. Hardly any kind that we ain't got. So, I'm just telling you this to make you to realize that if Satan had not infiltrated your life, then the glory that you have is to your knowledge, and the world and all the things around you that you do in the world would have been perfect. But God has rejected it. He's had to reject it to destroy Satan and to do away with death. So he put another god over it called Lucifer, even the god of this world, the god of intellectual darkness, of human reason, and said, don't you lean to your own understanding. I'm going to kill that outside you. I'm going to kill that body, and I'm going to plant it in the grave. And yet I'm not going to kill the body to the extent I'm going to bring it up in another form as to bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And you'll be that way until you're changed, that is, in the eyes of God. And the infiltration as to the body and the flesh is forever gone. And you that don't walk after the flesh, you that don't dwell in the flesh, and we're not in the flesh and can't walk after the flesh because he's chosen the side of the flesh, hid us with Christ and God whom the heavens have received. There'll be never any more condemnation to you. And you will never come into condemnation, and you pass from death unto life. There is no way that you can die. As a human being, go to sleep. Like Lazarus, I go to awaken. But death, as to the fire and judgment of God, you'll never die. Your soul can never die. Everybody doesn't belong to that world because everybody doesn't see that world. See, it would take many, many hours, hours and hours to reveal that world. And then after that, if you was one of that world, then you would see it, because that mind for that world and that invisible body for that world, you would have it. But there are some that belong to it. My, what we could say if we went on. But I want you to stand with me. I appreciate your patience. I would then say to Brother Taylor, do you have somewhat of an understanding of what I'm trying to say as to my feeble approach? And Brother Taylor, that we have now, with this one sermon, we have barely touched it, not even the measure of a pinhead yet, or a pinpoint, I beg your pardon, not as of yet. We have touched it not even in the measure of a pinpoint yet. But we have said these things to where it does give you some understanding as to the fact that there are what you refer to as saints of God. There are saints of God. The lady that come out here, something was said as concerning Monroe. She said, I don't care what the people of Monroe think. She says, that's what I feel. She just fell in love with this place out here. And of course, she's wanting to come to church out here. Yeah. Maybe just to be in service or what, I don't know. But I just said that to say this, brethren. Don't bother with the baser sort of people. When people interfered with what Paul was doing in the great act of holiness and the mighty regime of God, he said, this is the baser sort. and don't mess with those people that are of a low degree, as to be the basis of it, as to be what Jesus called dogs that lap their vomit and swine that wallow in their mire, as to their intellectual, frivolous way of bondage and things of the world. Don't bother with those religious people or non-religious people, but be careful. Withdraw yourself from even a brother that walks disorderly, to have no fellowship with him, that he may be ashamed. And if you perceive there's no understanding in a man, go from him. And people that talk like that have no understanding. Stay away from them and be careful when you're out there among sinners, because God looks at sinners differently. They don't know, they don't understand. And anything that an old hypocritical person in hypocrisy will tell them against a religious thing as a devil indoctrinating them, they don't know no better. And if you'll go get them out of that and talk to them, they'll look at you differently, because all they have is the gossiping chain of the world. So then, knowing that they're in darkness and you're children of light, and knowing that they're dirty and filthy and you're holy and clean and washed with the blood of the Heavenly Father through His Son, then let's be kind to them. Let's show a light. Let's love them, and let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And use a gentle approach, for the Bible teaches that when you speak kindly, gently, turns away even the wrath of man as well as the wrath of God. Have charity as to the bond of perfectness, for charity covereth the multitude of sin. Let's sing a little chorus. Down at the cross, where we first saw the light, the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Sing with me. For at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. So there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing with me? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in today. Come in to my heart, Lord. Come in to my heart. The altars are open. If you'd like to come to the altar, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in to and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. I found a new place in place of peace, a place of rest. I found a new place in God's heavenly. It's in Jesus Christ, my Lord. You love the Lord? How wonderful it is to walk in the ways of God. So wonderful it is. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild, stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. And he was here all the time. Jesus was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. But he was here all the time. Can you sing it with me? My Savior was here all the time, and he was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. And he was here all the time. Ye are they that have passed from death unto life. And now God, having translated you into the marvelous kingdom of God along the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom has been preached, and men have been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And to you that have been translated as to the inner man into the kingdom of God, that is to say, into the Spirit of Christ, your body is now dead as to the interference with the infiltration, as to the no good thing within the body. Paul said, as to who will deliver me from the body of this death, what the law could not do, and that was weak through the flesh, and that the flesh couldn't perform God's righteousness of the law, because of the infiltration as to the interference as to the satanic thing that was in the body. Then God has killed the body, and now the body is dead and buried by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Put ye on the new body, as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, is in the mind of God. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the desire. As to the word lust, the original rendering is desire of the flesh. So then, as in the early church, they laid all aside, sold all they had, laid down at the apostles' feet, said that not anything was theirs as to follow the Lord Jesus, giving up their substance. Paul said, giving up your substance here, said you did that because you know that you have a far better substance in heaven that is given to you and is waiting for you in that world as children of the resurrection, as children of life. Then you have eternal life. And tonight we rejoice as forevermore to never worry about the pressures, the feelings, the fears, the pains, the miseries, the inconvenience. Never worrying about those anymore because they do not belong to you. And never worrying about Satan anymore because he's been cast out of your heart. He is now among them that are in the carnal mind. If the love of the world is in you, then are ye carnal. And to be carnally minded is death, as to the mind of infiltration. And he is among you. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, they that are still in the world, that have never, as to the inner being, never having been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God as the Spirit of Christ, the mind of the Lord. Woe unto them, for he is among you, going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whether he devours you to take your mind to use your body for ball games, or frolics, or passions, or as a slave to tribute for money, or to follow your fashion and face and forms, whatever it might be, woe unto you. He's out to get you, to murder you, to kill you, to steal the virtues of life, whatever it might be, he's out to get you. He's a thief, he's a robber. He's a killer. When Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and that more abundant, to the field up and overflowing as to you being the children of the resurrection. Let's go forward. Tell the glad tidings of great joy. Find our brethren as to brother and sister elect among the people. But when the last one comes in, then it'll all be over. So let's love one another and feel sorry for those that are without, that are in ignorance, because they don't understand, and let's try to take them light. And those that Satan are using in hypocrisy, just stay away from those. Don't bother with those. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. All right, while we've got our eyes closed and our hands lifted up to heaven, trust that a few things have been said tonight and that will help you. Appreciate you coming to be with us. And we want you to know that from the bottom of our heart, we love you, care for you, and we love you. I want to ask Brother Steve Douglas to come up, if you will. And while Steve is coming to pray, let's search our hearts now. The Bible said, examine yourselves, see if you be in the faith. That is, in the latter times, some shall depart from the word of God, and that faith cometh by the hearing of the word. And they'll have all kind of ideology and religious things, even doctrines of devils. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron, past feeling, they can do anything that's in the world anymore and not feel bad about it. But you that are tender in heart, that have not hardened your heart through the deceitfulness of sin, reach out and say, Lord, am I really in a conviction as to my understanding according to the word? Or is it just according to heresy of something I've been taught in my childhood? Or whatever it might be, the Bible calls it old wives' fables or whatever. Lord, help me to know that it's the word and that my belief is in the word and my faith in that word is proved by me honoring and obeying and submitting to the word as to let it be incorporated within my life. May the Lord bless you as our brother comes, Brother Steve.